In the years since the dot-com industry crashed, firms such as Pets.com and Wine.com have vanished, leaving behind old dreams and empty office space. But the Internet also has some remarkable success stories. The search engine Google is one company that's thriving, its influence now felt all over the world. In 5 years, the startup has changed the way millions of people work and live. Google has, in fact, become a verb in everyday language. NPR's Elaine Corey reports that formidable rivals from Yahoo to Microsoft have begun to close in.
In a deserted office park in Silicon Valley, construction worker Manny Machado watches as a moving truck hauls away the remains of another dot-com casualty.
This building's going to be empty. You know, so all the office spaces and everything, nowadays they're just leaving cubicles, everything intact and just moving out.
Stretches of the valley are desolate, but just down the road, one company is still as vibrant as the red, blue, and yellow logo that bears its name. Sergey Brin is the co-founder of Google, the world's most popular search engine. He designed its logo himself.
I think the primary colors are also very, very simple, and the idea is that you can get what you want very easily. So at the same time being simple, it's still very powerful and reliable.
Simple, powerful, and reliable. That's Google. It was invented in 1995, the brainchild of two Stanford whiz kids, Brin, a baby-faced Russian emigre, and Larry Page, the son of a Michigan computer scientist. While many dot-coms were concocting wild schemes to make money, this pair focused on a deceptively small goal: to take searching the web to a new level. Since then, they've been unstoppable. Again, Sergey Brin.
If you think about it, today, you can, in a fraction of a second, pretty much scan through most of human knowledge, which is reflected on the web. Not all, but most, certainly.
To help people access that knowledge, Google indexes more than 3 billion web pages and ranks them according to their relevance. Google staff of 800 includes more math, language, and computer PhDs than many a college campus. Engineering fellow Urs Hertzel spends his days solving riddles, such as determining what language a page is written in.
It seems like a relatively simple problem, right? You take a dictionary and you look up, and if it has lots of French words on it, then presumably it's a French page, and if it has lots of English words, it's presumably an English page. But in reality, the web is much more difficult because, for example, you have pages that have only images on it, or the text that's on it is English text because it's in the comments or something like that, but the actual site is a German site.
To Google engineers, brain teasers like this one are fun, a kind of mind candy. A mechanical baby grand plays in Google's lobby, next to a vibrating massage chair that's seen better days. While other dot-coms spent a fortune on lavish corporate monuments, Google's decor screams cheap geek. Sergey Brin, all of 30 years old, has a thing for lava lamps. They're everywhere, in Google colors, of course.
Lava lamps, which I like to think are very beautiful, you know, they're $40 each. For $4,000, you can have 100 lava lamps.
The Google staff do enjoy some expensive perks, a few Segway scooters, a company pool table, and free gourmet meals.
We have a green Thai curry beef, pad Thai noodles.
You know what? Charlie's food is the best. It's awesome.
Anna Mastel came to Google from a Valley software company that was slowly dying. Quite a contrast from Google, which has never stopped growing.
When I say I work at Google, people go, oh, Google. I used Google just this morning. I looked for a recipe. Or I used Google this morning. I was trying to find out some information about a car that I'm looking at. Or just, you know, oh, Google, I've heard that's a great place to work.
Hello. Can I have a regular?
At a cyber cafe in San Francisco, Ian White is on his laptop searching for technical information about plastics. He's trying to launch a business selling laminated maps. But the 32-year-old New Yorker uses Google to look up all sorts of things: phone numbers, restaurants, movies, even old girlfriends. And lately, he's been checking out potential dates.
I feel a little kind of like guilty pleasure in doing that. So I come to the table knowing what they're about, and I did it recently. And, you know, her name was, you know, Jane Doe. So then I meet her the other night. So what do you do? I'm an attorney. Oh, really? But I really knew much more than I let on, obviously. But I, of course, didn't go so deep that I know her. birth date. I could have probably gotten her social security number if I paid the service.
Google's gotten so powerful, some privacy experts claim it's intrusive. 23-year-old Amy Jurel was shocked when someone discovered her password and pried into personal information she'd put up on the web.
I actually had a friend here that had found something that I wasn't into sharing. She looked it up and found my diary.
In an age of instant information, it's getting hard to be anonymous. Enter someone's telephone number into Google, and chances are their address will pop up, often with a map directly to their front door. Google even provides pictures. The company is in talks with privacy groups about how to improve its security features, but it's clear co-founder Sergey Brin won't sacrifice Google's mission.
I think we have the greater responsibility to our users, which is, you know, basically the world, because I think we provide a really important service to them. I mean, it's basically how they get their information, which might not be the most important thing. I mean, there's also, you know, water and shelter and things like that, but it's one of the most important things.
Google is still in private hands, although investors salivate at the thought of an IPO. The company's success is partly luck, says Brin, but also adherence to certain principles that have guided it from the start.
One was to really value the user experience above everything else. And that's one of the reasons that when everybody else was sort of plastering banners and pop-ups on their sites, for example, we considered alternatives like text-based advertising, which has panned out to be a very good experience for both the users and the advertisers.
Google's text ads have worked so well, they're revolutionizing web advertising. Unlike pop-ups, they're subtle and relevant, just a few sponsored links off to the side. But the revenues have been pouring in, now approaching $700 million, and competitors are eyeing those ad dollars with envy. Microsoft is beefing up its own search technology. Even some of Google's business partners are gunning for it. As Yahoo evolved into a giant web portal, search was gradually downplayed. Now Yahoo is challenging the leader head-on, buying a former Google rival and unveiling a new search page some critics have called a rip-off of Google's own uncluttered site. But Yahoo Senior VP Jeff Weiner says no way.
You know, when people say, well, why are you doing the same thing that other people are doing? To me, it's always interesting because Yahoo was the company that really defined the overall internet experience for so many people. This is something we've always been doing. Now it's just a question of how we do it better.
The folks at Google agree that search technology has barely scratched the surface of what it could potentially do.
Computer.
Ready.
This is the captain. Produce all data relevant to the recent ion storm.
Affirmative.
One of the ways to sort of see the difference between Google and what really a search engine should be would be to look at Star Trek.
Google engineering fellow Urs Hertzel.
And we're so far away from that, you know, there's lots and lots and lots of problems left.
Hertzel says he respects the competition, but instead of focusing on their next moves, he says Google will just stick to what it does best, finding ways to improve people's access to knowledge. Elaine Corey, NPR News, San Francisco.